Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey guys, we're back. And this week, I have someone special for you. When I went back to the States, I picked up a couple sales books. And one of them was High Profit Prospecting. So I felt like, you know what, I'm going to get Mark Hunter on the show. And here he is. What's up, Mark?
Hey. Yeah, you know what? You buy the book, you get the author. How's that sound? That sounds like a good deal.
The crazy thing is, I never thought I would be able to do that before.
I love doing podcasts. This is a kick in the pants. It's great. I'm glad you reached out.
Yeah, but I mean, before I had the podcast, I never even imagined I'd be able to get a book, you know, from someone I actually want to read from and then just get him on the phone.
Yeah. Isn't that what makes communication and really makes this whole internet? And I think this internet's going to stick around. I really think it's going to go pretty big. It makes it that we're really only one degree of separation from everybody, it seems like. So it's cool. I am glad you reached out. I'm glad we connected.
Yeah, and as we spoke before the call, what I've been seeing a trend of is, you know, people being entertaining and trying to get followers and all this stuff, but not selling. And you mentioned that they're scared of the word no. And I sort of feel that because people are hiding behind screens too much, in my opinion, these days.
Oh, they are hiding behind screens. And the real disease, and it's a disease of trying to get clicks and likes and shares and forwards. But I don't know where you bank at, but my bank does not take clicks and likes. I mean, it takes money, you know? And yeah, but we get caught up in, hey, let's create another video. Let's create another this. And somehow it's going to go viral and create all this business. But that's just smoking dope and jumping rope in my book.
Yeah, I don't care about likes or following at all. I mean, my clients come through and I don't have many of, like, I have less likes than a lot of my friends and I'm getting way better clients.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Now that right there just speaks something, because what that says is that what you're doing is connecting with your audience. And see, that's where I think that's what people forget about sales. Sales is still a one-to-one relationship, and you've got to connect with people. You've got to connect. And if you don't create that connection, there's little ability to ever create a sale, period.
What's your take on all this social stuff? All these influencers and then when it comes to sales? Because I mean, to me, it's like smoke and mirrors. I'm just not seeing the point.
Well, it is. There is so much noise out there. Now, there's two ways to look at it. One, it's actually easier. In fact, I was at a conference. I was at a marketing conference a couple of days ago. And we were talking about this because it's easier to make a name for yourself today than it's ever been because of the internet, because of social media and so forth, which is on the one hand very good but very bad, because shallow voices can become very loud very quickly. So that's a real risk that we wind up jumping into fake conversations that just are not deep. You know, they're very, very shallow. But let's flip this back over to a sales side, because what that means is that we become we become enamored with the bright lights, the shiny star, the cool. Let me just watch this one video. Let me look at this one thing. And we really forget, what is sales all about? What is sales? You know, my definition of sales is helping others see and achieve what they didn't think was possible. Now, to that end, I'm going to use social media. I mean, I'm out on social media all the time, but it's only to create awareness. It just really creates a name. That's all. I mean, why do I write book? You know, you picked up my book off the recommendation of some other people when you were here in the States. That's great. I thank you very much for that. So, I mean, that was a little piece of this awareness. And then what happens is you reached out to me. We're having this conversation today. We're sharing it with your followers. And all of this is just creating awareness, which on the one hand is good. But at the end of the day, we have to translate it into a financial transaction. Now, what I find happening with a lot of marketing people and a lot of social media people is that they want to play this long game. If I just create enough followers, if I just create enough of this, business is going to come to my door.
Right.
And that's great, but you're going to starve to death. You're going to starve to death. And the salesperson's about creating the sale now.
Yeah, one of my managers from an old company, but he was a really good sales guy. He told me, look, you can hunt for the whales, but you still need mm-hmm. the bread and butter.
Yeah. Yeah. And see you just hit on something huge there, because see, within sales, you know, salespeople will say, I'm gonna hunt for the whale. I'm gonna hunt for the whale. Yeah. And in the meantime, in trying to land the whale, you do wind up starving. And you gotta go in for that close in stuff. You gotta go in for the squirrels, the bunny rabbits. Ooh, that's kinda creepy. You gotta go in for the stuff that you could close quickly. Because that's what's gonna put food on your table. And I think that's what happens so many times with social media and the whole social selling idea, is that we try to play for this big, big game. And, if I just get 10,000 followers, if I just get 100,000 followers, if I just get this, I mean, somehow that's going to create, but you're going to starve to death. And even if you do get that, this was kind of funny. I have over 270,000 followers on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a huge number, but and I've gotten some business off of it, but boy, I would sure not think that I can feed my family off of that. There's no way.
What advice would you give to someone that's listening right now, building up the social media, writing blog posts, and is starving?
Well, then you better pick up the phone and make some phone calls. Because that's, you know, here's a really good definition of what you need to do with this is what I tell anybody with social media. Your objective is to create an online relationship so you can have an offline conversation. Think about that for a moment. Online relationship, in other words, I'm going to connect with somebody. And I do this all the time. I will connect with people by way of LinkedIn, by way of Twitter, something like that. But then my goal is to have an offline conversation with them over the telephone or in person by way of Skype. It's a one-to-one offline conversation. That's my whole goal. And this is where I think so many social selling people make the mistake, is that they try to go for this mass order type of thing. Let me break it. They play two games. They're gonna try to create this online deal that's gonna sell this thing for an absolutely huge price, or it's gonna be a price that's so cheap. And in both cases, the price that's so cheap, you can never scale it enough to really make enough money, or it's too big and you never close that sale. So again, what I say is, I'm going to close my sales by way of offline conversations. I want to pick up the phone and have a conversation with somebody. You know, that's how you really separate, I think, who's in marketing and who's in sales. And if you want to put food on the table, boy, you got to shift to that sales side.
Yeah, I think the news doesn't help too. Like my girlfriend, for example, she's trying to build a influence on Instagram. Yeah, you know, mm-hmm. hasn't sold anything. I always ask her, like, well, can you get them to at least pay for one lunch for us? You know, but but they don't do anything. But you know, right. What she sees, and she always explains this to me, look, some of these people, they have, you know, 20 or 50 or 60,000 followers, and someone pays them to promote something on Instagram, right? And it seems like this roundabout ways of making money. You know, you're trying to get famous, but it feels like, to me, you know, I'm one of these guys, like, if I'm broke, I will fly back to the States right away and start knocking on doors, right? And see, like, what do you need? What can I help with? So to me, like, building a following for years and hoping someone pays me for something, it's just such a weird way of thinking about it.
Well, yeah, and that whole pay, and believe me, there's a lot of people who will say, oh, that's how I'm going to make my money. That that's how this is all going to work. And that's great. But, you know, at the end of the day, those rates that you get paid, you know, per thousand or whatever, isn't all that much. I mean, it's like people say, oh, if I'm going to become an overnight YouTube sensation, and then I'm going to make all this money off of YouTube ads, you know. And yeah, great. It's 20 cents, 50 cents. It's 18 pesos. You know, it just doesn't add up. Oh, wow. I got a check for €3. Big deal. It just doesn't add up to much.
But I feel like the effort's too much. Like some of these guys who have followers of a million on YouTube, and I've spoken to a couple, and you know, their revenue is about $100,000-$150,000 a year. When I think of that, I'm like, wow, that's like four clients that I can get myself now, monthly clients. And yeah, I'm done.
you win the prize. You win the prize, right? And that's the whole thing. Because what happens is, we get caught up in the game of numbers. We get, and this is so, I mean, you know, this is really advertising 101 if you really think about it. I mean, it's the basics of marketing. You create this FOMO, fear of missing out, that I've got to be out there on the internet and I've got to get this, and see, I've got more followers than this person. I've got more than this. I got a better blog post than this, and see how many comments I got and all that sort of stuff. And I could care less. I want to be targeting. The internet is so noisy. I mean, you think about everything. I mean, you can't put one word into Google without getting, you know, 100,000, you know, potential sites you can look at just for that one word. You put in a string of words, you still get a million. So how do you break free in that? And the problem is, the internet is free. It's free. And what I found, I'll share with you a very interesting example. We don't do nearly as much on our website like we used to in terms of offering free infographics and ebooks and that type of stuff. We used to. But what we found was that the people who are downloading this, and we get hundreds and thousands of people down. Wow, it's like, wow, we had, you know, 500 people last night downloaded this and did this. But all they are is just people looking for information. They're not buyers. They're not decision makers for the audience that I'm trying to reach. So I said, I'm going to step back from that. I'm going to step back. Well, yeah, we still have a few out there, but not nearly like we used to, because it wasn't a good, efficient spend for our time. See, I didn't say money. I said our time, because this is, you know, the that vacuum cleaner sound that you hear in the background is your time being sucked up because you're on the internet. And that's what happens. I mean, people just wind up losing their life on the internet.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of the people looking for free stuff, they do not convert into buyers.
Right. And they'll download anything, and they'll download this and they'll download that, and it all sounds wonderful. But my whole thing is, and I'm in total agreement, you know, sales is just like marketing in terms you gotta take the customer through a series of steps. You gotta take no arguments there at all. But the problem is there's a lot of people who are out there on the internet who will just never, ever, ever buy. Period. And let's quit trying to chase those people. You know, here in the United States, there's a expression I like to use. I can't take a Walmart shopper and make them a Nordstrom customer. If you're in the U.S., you know, one is a very much of a mass market. Walmart appeals to the and a great business model, but it's lower price goods. Nordstrom, on the other hand, is a very high-end fashion retailer. And, you know, you can't take a Walmart shopper and make them a Nordstrom customer. And yet this is what a lot of times people are trying to do with their marketing efforts. They're going to create this mass model, i.e. attract the Walmart, but then they're going to try to hook them on a Nordstrom price, and it just doesn't work. That's why I say you got to pick up the phone. You got to call. And calling is not this scary thing that so many people have it made out to be. I mean, you and I have never talked before, but here we are having a great conversation. And we're letting our personalities come through. that's really what sales is all about. It's just two people having a conversation.
Yeah, I think it's just experience and just doing it, right? When I worked at a life insurance company, it was a long time ago, but I mean, I did work there. I did about 300 cold calls per night.
Yeah. And you probably got a whole lot of rejections.
Like 297. See,
yeah, there you go. And you remember all. And see, you know what's funny? Here's a couple comments that I love saying. I can take all the rejection in the world I want. It doesn't matter because you know what? There's no blood. There's no foul. Nobody's going to lose their life over this. Okay. I'm just going to get rejected. Fine. No big deal. And see, here's the whole thing. If I cold call you, if I were to call you and you reject me and maybe you get all upset at me, well, I don't know what happened in your life 2 minutes before I called. I don't know. You may have just encountered you may have had just the worst day of your life. And suddenly I call you and guess what? I'm just the person you're venting on, you see. So relax. 99% of the time, if people are venting on you because they're rejecting you, they're not rejecting you. They're just venting on you because you just happen to call at that time. And here's the other piece. If I hear a no from somebody, and believe me, I get a lot of no's. I'm right there with you. And I'm not going to worry about the no's because the no's are never permanent. They're only a moment in time. And if you just relax, man. That's okay. Because here's the whole thing. Why do I sell? And this was a question that perplexed me the first, because I my whole goal was to go into advertising when I got out of college. And I had a little career shift and I wound up in sales. Long story, we don't have time to go into it here. And what was funny was I really struggled in sales because I wasn't in it for the right reason. When you understand what sales is, and this is really the definition of marketing too. This is what marketing people should be focused on. It's not what you sell. It's not what you market. It's not even how you sell. It's not even how you market. It's why you sell. It's why you market. Because you believe in the outcome that you can help others achieve. It's the outcome. That's what you want to focus in on. When you focus in on that and you're focused on the why, you're going to want to pick up the phone because you feel that, hey, these people, I know they could benefit from what I have to offer. I know these people have been out on my website. They've done this. That I need to get in touch with them. They've done this. I need to be in touch with them because I know I can help them. It really is a criminal offense if you don't pick up the phone and call. It's a criminal offense if you don't have a conversation with them because you know that you can help them. Really is kind of funny. It's about 3 years into my sales career when that light bulb finally flipped. And when it flipped big time. And I became absolutely passionate about sales. I wanted to have conversations. I wanted to have conversations because I knew that I could help them achieve an outcome that they didn't think was possible. And when you go into sales with that approach, see, I use marketing in my own business. And like we were talking before we went live, you know, we're both kind of solo, you know, we have our respective companies, but we kind of fit that small business solopreneur. I love marketing because it gives me the opportunity to have more of these conversations. And the more conversations I have, the more business. You see, because I ultimately have to sell you in order for me to really help you. In order for me to really help you, you have to be willing to invest. Now, see, I don't say that I don't sell anybody. I want to put a proposition on the table that encourages you to invest. Because I look at this, whether it be B2B or B2C, business to business or business to consumer, it is still about investing. It's still about investing. And nobody wakes up in the morning and says, oh man, I hope I'm sold today. I'm just feeling so down. I hope somebody sells me today. Nope, that doesn't happen. What they do is they do wake up and they say, I've got problems. I got challenges. I've got needs. I've got things I'm looking for because they want to achieve something. That's where you come into play. And you can only help them achieve that if they invest with you. That's my whole goal. My whole goal is to get you to see the value of the outcome that I'm going to provide. And I can begin to do that by way of marketing. I can begin to do that by way of social media and all, you know, my book that you picked up, that's a marketing tool. It's a sales tool. I make a little bit of money off of it, but it's a marketing tool because hopefully other people are going to read it and they're going to engage with me and they're going to become customers of mine. And that's how I really help people. That's sales. Sales is an absolute fun profession. Because if you also think of sales is a profession where we have to view what we do as being a research and development department for our customers. Let me explain what I mean by this. Research and development. Our whole goal is that we're going to research with you as to what your outcome is that you're looking for. You may not even know what your outcome is that you quite know. You just know you got this challenge, you're trying to figure it out, but I'm going to research with you. And then I'm going to develop the solution. I'm going to develop. And if you think about it, big companies have these R&D labs, they have these research and development labs, you know, that come up with these great new products, great new breakthroughs. Well, guess what? That's what we're doing every day in sales. That, I tell you what, that kind of, that gets me pretty excited. That pumps me up. To me, that's fun.
Sales are fun. They're not always fun in the beginning when you're starting out, but they do get to be fun once you figure out what you're doing.
Can I run with that for just a second?
Yeah.
Because that's the big challenge, because so many people start off thinking that they know what the outcome is and you know, they know what they're going to provide, because it's basically based on what they see value in. And it, too many times it comes back to the physical product that they sell, the physical thing that they sell. It's not value until the customer says it's value. And I can't tell you what value is. You know, the example I like to use is I could walk up to somebody who I didn't know and I could tell them, you're really stupid. And they wouldn't believe me. They would not believe me. But I mean, I would hope they didn't believe me. Now, if I entered into a conversation with you and through a series of, you know, questions and dialoguing and so forth, I could get you to convince yourself that you're stupid, then you'd believe that you're stupid, you see. That's really, that was a strange example, but wow. That's
I would actually like to hear this conversation.
There you go. Yeah, we're just having, but see, what are we doing? We're having a conversation. And that's, I think that's what holds so many, you know, it really pains me. And it really pains me when I see people spending all kinds of money on social media this and social media that. They're going to build this platform and this stuff. And then they wind up going broke. And I go, wow, you just combine that with some sales, you would have been incredibly successful.
Yeah, it's the sales part. Sales part is missing in a lot of places that I looked.
Yeah.
But a lot of entertainment out there. You know, people love to be entertaining. They love the social proof, but, you know, the sales not being made.
They love to be entertained. So we think, you know, it's like those great commercials that, wow, that was a funny commercial. Yeah, for those who still watch regular television. Wow, that was a funny commercial. But you don't remember the brand. See, it doesn't translate into a sale. And that's what happens so many times in terms of what people are doing out there. You know, if we've got to be very tight on our call to action. And we can't be shy. We can't be shy about asking for the business.
But I feel it's different for big companies like, let's say, Coke, right? And they make these commercials that help them brand all the time. But, you know, it's something like impulsive, right, when you're buying a drink like that. You know, what should I get, a Sprite or a Coke or something? And I'm like, oh, Coke, you know, because it's in season now, the World Cup. It's promoted by Coke. But if you're a small company like ours, I mean, can you imagine how much branding you would have to do, like, worldwide for the little group of people who actually use your services to remember you?
See, that bingo right there. You just nailed it, right? And yet people are out there trying to think they can brand and create this brand like Coke. You got to go one-to-one. You got to go one-to-one. And that's where the sales piece comes into play so much more. You know, it's funny. I mean, I call myself the sales hunter. Well, big deal, big deal. And okay, it's my brand. It's actually my real name. I did not change my name to get into this job. But it's a very tiny brand. And yet that's not why people choose to do business with me. You know, they choose to do business with me. And I think this is where so many small business people miss the boat. They think that they can create this brand. Well, I am never going to be able to go out and create a brand that's going to mimic Coke. I mean, they've been around for years. I mean, you know, it's just, you know. So why should I even try to compete with that? Because that's the whole thing. Coke and all these companies out there, Apple and Microsoft and all these companies that have global brand names, they create so much noise out there. That's why I really come back to one of the greatest assets everybody has is their personality. And you got to let your personality come through. Unless you're really truly that crazy uncle or that weird aunt in the family, then you got to go do something else. But no.
Not always. I mean, Alex Jones could be a crazy uncle, and look at his following.
Yeah, you're right. But see, this comes back. You know what's funny? And I'm going down a road that I hadn't really thought of before. We live in such a media frenzied world that it almost becomes an impersonal world. So when you can have a personal relationship with somebody, doesn't that raise the value of it? Yeah. I think it raises the value significantly. I mean, I think that's, you know, think about this for a moment. You made the comment that you picked up my book and then you were kind of shocked that you were able to get the author on the phone. And this has been great. I mean, we're having a great conversation. But it went from you walked into a bookstore or wherever, and thousands of books to pick from, and noisy bookshelves, noisy number of authors and books screaming, buy my book. Yet it was a personal relationship because of some other people who told you to pick up my book, so you did. And that personal, interesting, every step along the way, it's a personal relationship. We have to create more personal relationships. And I think when we do that, it really becomes quite easy.
You know, it's even less optimistic than that. So for someone listening, be like, oh yeah, so that means just get a really good cover and, you know, get people to refer the book. I didn't even go into a bookstore, Mark. I just looked up the referral list given to me by my friends and I just ordered them from Amazon on the phone really quick. Like, the other books
didn't
have a chance.
I love it. There you go. And so now you think about that. Think about that for a moment. It was that personal connection of that list somebody gave you, you know, and you grabbed it. And this comes back to this. If we spent more time, and if you really stop and think about this, you and I are aligned because we have similar interests. We have similar expectations. We have similar outcomes, you see. This is no different than a salesperson looking for a customer, looking for a prospect. You don't just, well, gee, that person's got two arms and two legs. They could buy from me. I have no clue. What do I know about them? What do I know? How do I qualify them? And see, I think that's this whole art that gets lost. How do we qualify our prospects? Now, again, that's what social media, that's what the internet can do. It can help us qualify to where my whole, you know, what one of the things I talk about in my book is that I really don't want to have a wide funnel. You know, we talk about this sales funnel. We talk about this the sales pipeline. I really don't want to have a wide one where we're getting thousands of people into this thing. Again, you know, thousands of likes and shares and followers and so forth. What I really want is I want to have a narrow pipeline, because a big fat pipeline tends to be more like a sewer pipe, and a narrow pipeline is like a water tap. And what I want to do is I want to bring people in and bring them through very quickly. And when I bring them through very quickly, I'm actually able to spend more time with fewer people, because as a salesperson, my most valuable asset is my time. And I'm not wasting it with all these other people out there who can't buy from me. I'm focusing my time on just a few people that I'm able to invest more time with. And I'm actually able to really help provide them a solution that much faster. And what I'm doing is I'm actually speeding up my sales process. So many people become frustrated because they look at this list. Well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. So I wind up not doing anything. And what I tell people is, some of the most successful salespeople, you know, they may be looking for prospects. They may be looking for leads and so forth. And just like you, spending 300, making 300 calls a night. But it comes down to that there's two people that do respond. Those are the two that you're focusing in on. Those are the two. And my whole goal is I want to be able to get it very tight. I mean, it's kind of funny, but tomorrow on my call list are three very distinct calls. And these are qualified prospects that I want to try to tomorrow to move them to paying customer. That's my whole point. And you know, but it's just three calls. And that's what I'm going to be focused in on. Now I can do that because the average dollar ticket I sell and so forth, you know, the average financial transactions quite high. I don't need to close that many sales. That if I just close a couple sales a week, I'm doing great. But what does that mean? That means I focus my time tight. I'm very, very tight. For each one of these three calls, I've done probably 20 minutes worth of research. Now, I haven't knocked myself out on doing research. I've just knocked myself out enough on research to really come up with a little bit of information to really ask some good questions. Because see, that's the other piece that so many people say, well, I can't sell because I really don't know how to make a sales presentation. Don't. The best sales presentations ever made are the ones never given. It's just a conversation. Yeah. It's just a conversation.
Yeah, I've never really used PowerPoint any of those. I feel like they actually mess up the sale.
Oh, they do, because they hold you high. My whole objective, if I could give some advice to people in terms of, well, I don't know how to sell. All I need to do is ask somebody one question about their business, about a need, about an outcome that they may be looking for. Don't ask it in a yes or no. Ask them, okay? And then you sit there and you follow up by saying, could you explain that a little bit more? Could you give me another example? Could you help me understand that better? You know what I found is this. I take whatever the customer shares with me, whatever the prospect shares with me, and I just ask them a follow-up question, just like that. And I get them talking. And that in turn then leads to the next logical question, the next logical question. And all I'm doing is just asking you a series of questions, and you'll take me to the solution you're looking for. I don't have to walk in with this, you know, I got this, you know, let me tell you all about my business. Let me tell you about all this. Who cares? Nobody cares. They got their own challenges. They got their own problems. Have a discussion with them. And the other thing that is so fascinating is when the other person's talking, they won't end the meeting. You know, and this could be on a phone call. You can be on a phone call. You get them talking. And suddenly you're still on that phone 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes later, 7 minutes later, 10 minutes later. Because all you're doing is just asking them questions.
That's true.
Because when you demonstrate your interest to people and you care about what they say, it's amazing what they'll share back with you.
Yeah, it's true. If you keep asking, digging deeper, you can get a lot more info out than the person maybe even thought they wanted to give you in the first place.
Yeah. In fact, this is a really cool thing. You know, people will sit there and say, well, what what should I make as my objective if I'm going to call somebody up and I don't know? Your objective is to really just uncover one piece of information. If you can just cover one piece of information, and because you called them when they weren't expecting you to call, totally get that. Your objective then is to just arrange a time, a scheduled time to talk again. If you can do that, you've had a home run call. But here's where it gets really cool. I'm going to immediately, when I get done, when I get off the phone with you, I'm going to send you back an email. Repeating in the email, the first sentence is going to be something that you shared with me. Hey, it was really interesting what you said. You said boom, 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 boom. Could you help me understand that a little more? Could you share with me? I really want to understand that better. Now, what did that? They get this email back, or maybe it's a voicemail you leave for them. They get that back and they go, wow, she really listened to me. He really listened to me. He really cared. And it's amazing. They respond. And then what you can do is you then use that information. And the next time you sit down with, you say you have a follow-up phone call with, you have a scheduled call with them a week later. And you say, hey, Matt, that was very interesting. I want to talk about that some more. And you start off by conversing over with what they shared with you. Wow, man, that just lights up prospects.
Do you have any tips for closing?
Yeah, the easiest tip for closing is prospect right. Now, this was funny. We could spend hours here on this. But I firmly believe that if you prospect right and sell right, closing just is a no-brainer. Couple of the easiest things to do for closing. And people will sit there and say these are cheesy. People will sit there and say, and I totally get that. And they are, but they work. You simply give the customer an option. You say, great, hey, so this is cool. Now, you said you needed this to solve this. So you always close by restating what the outcome is that they're looking for. Okay, you never put a proposition, you never put a plan, a price on the table until you know what the outcome is that they're looking for. So you state what the outcome is. So this is what you're looking for to help this. So would A or B be the right option? So you kind of give them an option. You give them an option close. Now, that's one really cool way to close. Here's another cool way to close, and I love doing this. In my first book, High Profit Selling, I talk about this a lot. I say, your first proposal that you put on the table, make it really be high priced, really high priced. You really high priced. Let them choke on it. Then you put on the plan that you think is going to be right for them. And you know what's interesting? Then they suddenly take the plan that they like. If you had just put the plan that you felt they would like first, they tried to negotiate you down on a lower price. But because it's the power of contrast between the two, they'll wind up taking the higher price. I mean, they'll wind up taking that middle of the road one without arguing. And what's even funnier is that there will be those that will take the high priced one. Boom. I have this happen a lot. I will share with clients. I'll say, well, here's a couple of options and so forth. And they'll sit there and say, well, we want this top option. And remember, people will invest based on the value, the perceived value of what you're going to deliver.
What I do, and I used that before, the A and B, just give people mm-hmm. two options, anything more, yeah. and they get confused. But what I found works actually much better for me is only lead with the highest option. And the second I hear any pushback, I'm like, oh, great. I'm going to take out this component. Now it's cheaper. And the thing is, people hate seeing things taken away from them.
Right. Yep. See, what you're doing is you're starting them off thinking higher. And then they go, oh, wait, no, you can't take that. Oh, no, can I leave that in there? And then they wind up paying you the full price. Right.
But I'm always happy to take it out. I was like, look, we can take all this out. We can make it.
Right. Yeah, see, this is that you touched on something so key, because this whole thing, you put this high-priced option out there and then you put this other one. There are things that are not in the two options. I mean, that you have – you do not discount your price. In other words, the only reason you discount your price is because you're taking stuff off the table. Because if you go and discount your price without taking something out of the proposal, What have you told the customer? You've told the customer that you can't be trusted on price, that you're trying to screw them. See?
Yeah, and that's true, though. That's very true. Yeah, so, you know, so my prices are always super fair, but I just feel like, right, you know what, the components, right, they can leave. They can leave. It's, right, less work for me. It's less, right, work for you.
Right. I had a guy, this is what's funny. I had a guy call me, and this was a VP of sales, and he had been talking with one of the people on my team, and he felt my fee was going to be too high. So person on my team said, hey, this guy's going to call you. And so he called me, and I had not talked to him on the phone before. And I introduced myself. He introduced himself. He says, your fee is really high. Will you reduce it? And I said, no, I won't reduce the fee. I'll change the outcome that you get. And, oh, by the way, I want to talk to you a little bit about, and I went right into the critical issue that I knew his company was going to be facing. And he started answering, and he said, that was really good. I asked you to cut my price. I mean, I asked you to cut my price, and you got me immediately talking about my problem. You're hired. And what was so funny was the guy said, when we ended the call, he said, by the way, what is really interesting is you weren't my first choice. Oh, now this is okay. Now I got to really find out. He said, you weren't my first choice. He said, I really wanted to go with another company. But when we called them up and we were talking to them, I wanted to get the owner on the phone. And before I got done with the owner, I had got him to cut his price in half. And I said to myself, I said, wow, I was either a really good negotiator or this guy's really trying to screw me over. So he said, there was no way I was going to work with him. There was no way. Because he said, I'm not going to allow that type of person to stand up in front of my sales team. See?
Yeah, I agree. Before we wrap this up, could you maybe walk us through the sales funnel that you have for your website? Because we talked a lot about the things you shouldn't do, but I want to see what you're doing. Maybe it'll give people some ideas.
Yeah, let me run through it very, very, very briefly, because I know we are running long here. One, I want to qualify the prospect. Now, you start off as a lead, okay? And then you move into suspect, then you become a prospect, then I'm going to sell you, then I'm going to close you. Okay, let's walk through this. Mm-hmm. Lead, yeah, I just feel that you have interest in me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to now qualify you, and I want to qualify you quickly. What I'm looking for is A, piece of proprietary information. B, what is your sense of urgency in terms of when are you looking to buy? What's the process? C, am I dealing with the decision maker? That's what I'm looking for. Then when I get that, then I know you're a prospect. Now my whole objective is to be able to uncover what is the viable outcome. What's the viable outcome that I can help you with? I'm not going to put any kind of a price on the table until I know what the outcome is. Once I know what the outcome is, I can then begin to put a price on the table. See, so what I've done is I've moved from lead to suspect to prospect. I'm now selling you. I'm now selling you. And in this outcome phase, and then I'm going to put this price package on the table, and then I'm going to close. So it really, it's a very simple process that just flows people through. But it comes down to this. I want to qualify quickly. Because if you don't match my criteria, in other words, if you don't have a timeline and a process for making a decision, if you're not the right person to be dealing with, if I don't understand how I might, I don't know specifically yet, but I don't know how I'm going to help you, I don't want to waste my time with you. Because I only want to spend time with high probability people who I can close.
Love it. Mark, where can people find you?
Well, the best place is thesaleshunter.com. Yeah, my last name is Hunter. That I did not change it. That's thank you to my parents. But thesaleshunter.com, that's the best place. And we got YouTube videos. We're all over LinkedIn, all over social media. And of course, the book High Profit Prospecting. That's kind of the main book that people really gravitate towards.
Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, man. I enjoyed it. Great selling.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect, Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.